sailor, soldier, sailor, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Tinker, sailor, soldier, sailor, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief.
We present John le Carré's Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Adapted for radio in 7 parts by René Basilico. And starring Bernard Hepton as George Smiley. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Part 3.
Depressing time of the year, don't you think?
I've never given it much thought, Oliver.
No, you wouldn't, I suppose. One season must seem much like another in Chelsea.
Yes.
I'll be seeing the minister first thing. I think I should put him in the picture.
Hmm.
Don't you?
I suppose so.
Well, he must be told, George. We're to believe Tar and what we heard on that cassette. The Russians have a man in the circus. I don't see how I can avoid telling the minister.
Yes.
Oh, why the devil did that wretched Russian woman have to choose a man like Tar?
Because he was there, I suppose. Fortunately for you, I would have thought.
Hmm. You believe him, then?
Not entirely. Tar's probably playing some little game of his own on the side.
Yes, I must admit that the same thought crossed my mind.
It's always been the trouble with Ricky Tar, knowing where to draw the line.
Doesn't that make him rather unreliable as an agent?
In some ways. But he does seem to have a way with women. Mm. And I am inclined to accept the main thrust of his story.
Now, the Russians have penetrated the circus. You think Merle Gerald does exist?
I think it would be most unwise to assume that he doesn't.
Indeed. They can't move, then. The circus can hardly investigate Tar's allegation without alerting the mole.
If there is one.
Quite.
It's an awkward dilemma.
Hmm. So, what do we do, George?
You could call in the competition.
Never.
Oh, they are the experts.
The minister would never wear it. Neither would I, for that matter. Damn it, George, we've got 600-plus agents in the field. I wouldn't give much for their chances once you turn security loose.
I wouldn't give much for their chances with a Russian mole inside the circus.
That's the crux, isn't it? I say again, George, what do we do? What would you do?
My first priority, I suppose, would be to see if Ricky Tar's story stands up.
And how would you do that?
Well, even a Ricky Tar couldn't invent a story like that out of nothing. Somewhere there will be evidence that will corroborate or contradict it. All you have to do is find it.
Yes.
It's a fairly routine process, Oliver.
And time-consuming, of course.
Yes.
So, I can tell the minister you'll do it, can I?
Me?
Oh, it's your legacy, George. Your generation. You can't just abdicate that responsibility.
You discharged me from that responsibility, Oliver. Remember?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
I am out of it now.
But don't you see, George, because you're out of it, you're untainted. You're the only person I can trust.
Taking their time, aren't they, Mr. Gillen?
Are you surprised?
I'd have thought Irina's story was clear enough. One of the top guys in the circus is a Russian mole. Period.
It's not that easy, Ricky.
Sorry to have kept you waiting.
That's all right. I've got nowhere else to go, have I?
Well, yes, you have, actually, if you don't mind.
What do you mean?
We'd like to put you on ice while we check up on a few things.
Yeah, well, you be damn careful where you go poking your nose.
Ah.
Yeah, well, it's not your head on the block, is it?
We'd like to move you to a safe house for a while.
How safe?
You're safe enough. Fawn will go with you.
I don't need a babysitter.
You do, Ricky. I insist on it.
You can keep an eye on each other.
Yeah. You're in charge then, are you, Mrs. Smiley?
It would seem so, yes.
All right, then. When do we start?
As soon as possible.
Before you go, Ricky, perhaps you'd just clear up a couple of points for me.
Sure.
All this business in Hong Kong.
Yeah, what about it?
It was over 6 months ago.
So?
Well, what have you been doing since?
I flew out to Kuala Lumpur pretty damn quick. I've got a daughter out there, Danielle. I shacked up with her and her mother.
He's got women scattered halfway around the globe.
Yeah, but only one kid.
Hmm. So what made you choose this particular moment to come to us with your story? I think I would have preferred to stay with my daughter.
But then I don't have one. There were rumors.
What sort of rumors?
Some Frenchman poking around in KL, spreading it about that I owed him money.
And?
I don't owe anybody money.
I see. What passport have you been using, Ricky?
British. In the name of Poole, do you want to see it?
May
I? I had it run up in KL. I chucked my Australian identity as soon as I landed.
That's quite good, isn't it?
That's not bad for the money.
Not bad at all. And what about the blank Swiss passports, the ones you took to Hong Kong? Why didn't you use one of those?
They may have been blank, Mr. Smiley, but they were still numbered. If London had the numbers, maybe Moscow did too.
Then what did you do with them?
Sold them, most likely. Or swapped them for that one.
I burned them.
You burned them, I see.
Yeah. Well, is that everything?
I think so, Ricky, for the moment.
He's lying, George.
I don't know.
Well, you can't possibly believe that nonsense about burning the Swiss passport.
No, he's holding something back, obviously. But I would have thought the rest of the story was far too complex for someone like Ricky Tarr to invent.
Someone else might have invented it for him.
And turned him.
It's possible.
Ricky said he sent two cables from Hong Kong, didn't he?
Three. The original on the morning of the 10th of April, the flash follow-up the same evening, and his reply to London's questionnaire around lunchtime on the 11th.
They would have been logged at this end, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. There's no way around that.
Where would those logs be kept?
In the duty officer's room, same as ever.
Then I'm afraid I'm going to ask you to stick your neck out, Peter.
No.
We have to check those logbooks.
Things have changed since your day, George. I've been banished to Brixton. I can't just walk in and out of the circus as I please. Not anymore.
I'm sorry. You'll just have to invent some reason for a visit.
All right.
And make it watertight. We don't want to arouse suspicion.
So you don't want me to actually steal the logbooks?
A sight of them would be enough. All we need to know is, were task cables ever received? And if so, by whom?
It would have been outside normal office hours. Hong Kong time is 9 hours ahead of us.
Yes. So it might be worth checking the janitor's rosters to see who was actually inside the building that night.
And two nights.
I better still. Sorry to load all this on your shoulders, Peter. But you're the only one with legitimate access.
Understood. Where will you be? At home?
For a while, but don't contact me there. The phone may not be secure.
Where then?
Do you remember Mendel, the special branch man we worked with on the Fennan case?
Well, that's going back a bit, isn't it? He'd have retired by now.
Yes. He's keeping bees now. From a semi-detached in Mitcham, would you believe?
How do you know that?
Oh, we've kept in touch. Now, the point is, I phoned him from Lacombs before we left.
And?
He'll be our clearing post until I've settled in somewhere. I'll give you his phone number. I've got it here somewhere. There.
Yeah, thanks.
I want an operational HQ for this job. Actually, Mendel's already suggested a small residential attorney, you know.
Suitably discreet.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm hoping you'll have it all sorted out by the time I get back from Oxford.
Oxford? Well, why are you going to... Doesn't Connie Sachs live in Oxford now?
At the bottom. Hello, Connie.
George Smiley.
How are you, Con?
You lovely, darling man. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
Get lost, you stupid boy.
All right.
No! Not every day my oldest lover comes to see me.
I brought this for you.
What is it, you old sinner?
Only sherry, Con.
We'll see if it's any good then, shall we? In here, George.
Thanks.
Basket, plus basket. There's a good boy. Here, George, you can deal with the bottle.
Of course.
I'll see if I can find a clean glass for you.
No, don't worry about me.
You can't let me drink alone. Here. This looks unpolluted.
Thanks. Here you are, Carl.
Oh, God bless, George. God really bless.
You too, Con. You too.
Come alone, have you, George?
Except for the sherry.
Bad boy. Well, there's no need to stand about, is there?
Thank you.
That's better. What do you want from Connie now?
Just half an hour with the most priceless memory bank the circus ever had.
Oh, damn you, George Smiley. Do you know what she told me when she threw me out?
When who threw you out?
The head cow in personnel. Now, do you know what she said? Hmm. You're losing your sense of proportion, Connie. It's time to get out into the real world. I hate the real world, George. I like the circus and all my lovely boys.
I've got a letter for you here from Oliver Lacon.
Oh, George, damn you. So how could you let someone like Lacon in?
It was Lacon who let me in, brought me back in. Here, let me top you up.
Bad boy. Fuel old Connie's memory banks. God bless.
To you, Connie. Oh.
Who is George looking for?
One Viktorov, Colonel. First name, Grigori.
Viktorov.
13th Directorate, one of Carla's hoods.
Oh, sorry, George, it rings no bells with me. And that's got nothing to do with the booze.
I know, Colin, I know. What about Polyakov? First name unknown.
Alexei. Alexei Alexandrovich Polyakov, cultural attaché, Soviet Embassy, London.
You know him?
Oh, yes. I know dear Alexei. Jolly giant of a bloke. Lovely voice, too. I used to play the tapes twice just to hear him speak. Is he still around, George?
Apparently.
Busiest cultural attaché in town. If you needed something in a hurry, a lecturer, a musician, you name it, Alexei cut through the red tape faster than anyone alive.
How did he manage that?
Not how you think, George Smiley. Oh, no. Alexei Alexandrovich Polyakov was pure as the driven snow. You ask Toby Estes, or you ask Percy Allerline, ask any of them. Phooey. He was a hood. A six-cylinder Carla-trained hood, if ever I saw one.
All right, Carl. I believe you.
They wouldn't even listen to me, George. They wouldn't have listened to anyone, not even you.
I didn't even know.
Oh, you were on the down staircase yourself. Oh, please, don't go hunting with the Lacons. Please.
Why were you so certain Polyakov was one of Carla's people?
I knew it the moment I laid eyes on him.
Why, though?
There was something about him. To ramrod back. He had army written all over him.
And Carla always recruits his top men from the army.
And what's more, the Soviet embassy already had three cultural attachés, and one of them had nothing to do but cart the flowers up the Highgate Cemetery for poor old Karl Marx.
Polyakov was surplus to requirements.
Unless the real requirement was not for a cultural attaché.
Ah, so what? You had him put under surveillance?
On the A-list. Toby's lamplighters covered him at random 12 days in 30.
And?
Nothing. He was clean, George, pure as the driven snow. You'd have thought I'd rung him up and warned him that Toby was turning his dogs loose on him.
And then what?
He was put on the B-list and checked out as resources permitted. But after 3 months of that, they'd still found nothing, so he was given the Purcell grading. Investigated in depth and found to be of no intelligence interest.
Dead end.
It's all swept under the carpet and forgotten.
Except by Connie.
Remembrance Day, George. The Russian ambassador was laying a wreath at the cenotaph, and dear Alexei was there with a chest full of medals, and they were all military. I was so excited I rang Toby Esterhaz. Toby, I said, listen to me, you poison dwarf. Polyakov has at last let his ego get the better of his cover. I want him turned inside out, spike his house, his car, put the listeners on him, rig a mugging, anything, but do something. Because it's a pound to a penny that Alexei Polyakov is running an English mole.
Yes. Follows the Carla pattern, doesn't it?
Well, of course it does. Colonel Komarov with the Japanese mole. Colonel Stokowski with the West German.
What did Toby say when you told him all this?
He weren't interested, George. Weren't interested. And I thought it was just Toby at first, but it was all of them.
You talked to Percy?
Yes.
What did he say?
Pleaded lack of resources or some such. Accused me of unscientific deduction. Told me to leave Polyakov alone.
Leave him?
You're losing your sense of proportion, woman. Time you went out into the real world. Oh, George. How could he? Damn. One of my young dunderheads come for his lesson. Go and put him off until tomorrow, George.
All right.
Oh, be quiet, Flash, you silly boy.
Is Miss Saxon?
Yes, but I'm afraid she's not very well today.
Oh.
She's not very ill, only a tummy upset. You've come for a lesson, haven't you?
Yes.
Can you come tomorrow at the same time? Is that all right?
I should think so. I'll come back tomorrow, then.
If you wouldn't mind.
Bye.
Why, that was Will, the best of my little dunderheads.
We'll come back tomorrow at the same time.
I still teach, you know. Oh, God knows why. Have another sherry, George, I have.
Don't overdo it, Con. Mm? There's always tomorrow.
Tomorrow, it can help me forget. Today, it's helping me to remember. Dear old Alexei Polyakov.
And all his military medals.
He was so good, George. So very good. He had to be Connor trained.
Did he ever use a leg man?
Why should he? He was a cultural attaché.
I seem to remember Komarov had one in Tokyo.
You're a sly old devil, George. You're best of my lovely boys. Street dad and bloody Bill Hayden. You never really liked Bill, did you?
What makes you say that? Bill and I get on perfectly well together, always have done.
Yes, I have that. It's just a rumor.
About Bill Hayden?
Hmm. Dixie's had a run around the park with Anne.
They're cousins, Connie.
Oh, it was nothing, George. It's a silly rumor.
Polyakov's leg man, Con. Did he have a name?
Lapin. The rabbit. Clark driver at the embassy was such a twerp that I didn't believe it at first. And then one day, Alexei flew off to Moscow and Lapin moved into the embassy until he came back.
So Lapin was doubling up?
It stuck out a mile, didn't it?
You reported it?
Of course I did.
And what happened?
Connie got the sack. And Lapin went to Liberty Lock.
I don't suppose we knew him by any other name but Lapin.
No. At the time, I suspected his real name might be Floff. But I could never prove it. Penny for them, George. There you go. Did Connie give you what you came for?
I think so, Con. I think so.
Tickets, please. Thank you. Thank you, madam.
You, sir.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hello, Mendel.
Have a good trip?
Yes, not too bad, thank you.
Fruitful?
I think so, yes.
Come on, then.
Where are we going?
Just round the corner. I booked us into a little hotel in Sussex Gardens, the Islay. Very discreet and totally anonymous.
Sounds ideal.
It is. I've used them once or twice in the past. Did you have a bag?
I dropped it at the left luggage on the way out.
Well, why don't you collect it now? I'll get the car and pick you up at the bus stop. Top of the stairs.
Well, couldn't we walk?
I'd rather not. See you in a couple of minutes. Hello, Mrs. Graham. We've arrived.
Poked Graham, dear. And you're Mr...
Oh, he's Mr. George.
Mr. George.
Yes, that's right.
I've put you in number 8, dear. Top floor at the back where it's quiet.
Thank you.
That's what you wanted, wasn't it? Somewhere quiet where you could work.
That's right.
And I've put you next door, Mr. Mendel.
Perfect. But what about the desk for number 8?
Norman put one in there for you. Lovely Georgian escritoire. Belonged to the Major, that did. He used to treasure that escritoire.
I'll treasure it too, Mrs. Graham. Pope Graham. I promise you.
You do that, dear.
Thanks very much.
If the escritoire is not big enough for you, we've got a nice old Georgian card table. The Major used to use that sometimes too.
Number 8. This is you. Not exactly the Ritz, is it?
No, it'll do. Oh, there's the escritoire. Victorian, I should think. Oh, very commodious.
Needs to be. You should see the stack of stuff I've got for you in the car.
Oh? Oh, yes, from Peter Gillam. A little background material.
A little? That'll keep you busy for the next 6 months.
Really?
Oh, by the way, Peter said to tell you he was going into the circus this morning.
Huh?
Yeah, he's arranging to launder some money, if that signifies.
It's as good an excuse as any.
Hello, Mr. Gillam. Haven't seen you for ages.
Yeah, I wondered about bringing my passport just in case.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Yet.
Anyway, you're on the visitors list to see banking section, right?
Lauder Strickland, no less.
Sit, and I'll phone through, tell him you're here. He'll probably meet you at the lift.
Third floor still, isn't it?
Hey, don't forget your pass.
Oh, God. Thanks, Brian.
And remind Mr. Strickland to sign it with your time of departure.
Truth. I'll bring a pair of wire cutters next time.
Well, don't blame me. I don't make the bloody rules.
Greetings, Peter.
Hello, Lauder.
Yeah, that's late, perhaps, but no matter.
I don't qualify for reserved parking anymore, do I?
Yes, yeah, at a premium now. Anyway, come on, let's not waste any more time.
Good God. What's that?
What? Oh, the coffee machine. Oh, we've had that for months now. You've no idea how many man-hours it saves. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, sorry.
My fault, Lord. I was miles away.
Hello, Bill.
Peter Gillam. What the hell are you doing here, you old pariah?
Peter's planning some move against the French diplomat and needs to launder some dirty money. Right, Peter?
In a nutshell.
Well, lock up the spoons, Lauder. Lock up the girls, too, if they let you.
Fantastic fellow, Bill Hayden. Incredibly able.
Oh, yes, I know.
Hey, just a minute. Since when did scalp hunters launder their own money? That's meant to be our job.
It's Lauder that's doing the laundering, and we're just spending the stuff.
Papers to me, then, please, Lauder.
You should have them already, Bill.
Unless Roy Bland's sitting on them.
Okay, just as long as we don't cross any more wires.
You see, Peter, London Station couldn't be in better hands. My office is just down here at the end now.
Look, perhaps I should just pop my head round Roy Bland's door, make sure he's got those papers. I mean, without London Station stamp, there's nothing for us to discuss.
Ah, point taken, Peter.
Roy's office is round on the right, isn't it?
About 3 doors beyond the duty officers.
Now, give me about 10 minutes. I wouldn't mind a chat with Roy anyway.
Fine, I'll be in my office.
All right. Now... duty room. I'll see Roy Bland first.
Can I help you? Peter, how are you?
Hi, Toby.
What are you doing here?
I thought I'd lost my pass. I'll never get used to using the damn things.
No, I mean, what are you doing here,
Peter?
In the circus, actually.
I'm still on the payroll, Toby. Haven't you heard? What are you doing?
I was looking for Bill Hayden. I don't suppose you've seen him.
He was down by the coffee machine a moment ago. Might still catch him if you hurry.
The one by the lift.
You mean there are 2 of those monsters? Move, Gillam. Now, where? Signals logged. Signals logged. Ah. March, April. Sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. Strange. Sixth, seventh, eighth.
We should have heard from Peter by now.
I'll give him time. He might have had problems.
Hmm.
Look, tell me about my own business, if you like, but what are you hoping to get from the logbooks?
Confirmation that Ricky Tarr was telling the truth, at least about the cables he claims to have sent.
Hmm. But iffy, then? It's a Tarr character, is he?
Not exactly iffy.
But he might bend the truth a bit.
If it suited him, possibly.
And if he's on the level?
Then the logbooks will tell us who it was received Ricky's cables, and what action they took subsequently.
Gotcha. 64, that's Peter now.
Well, I do hope so.
Hello?
There's a Mr. William on the phone for Mr. George.
Ah, yes. Yes, put him through. It's Peter.
Thank you. Hello? Peter?
George, I've checked out the duty room.
And?
Every reference to the 10th and the 11th of April is missing.
Missing? How do you mean?
There's nothing in the attendance list, nothing in the sickness log. The sheets for those 2 days have simply been abstracted in their entirety.
But what about the duty officer's log?
Same story. Only there you can see where the pages have been removed with the razor blade. And there's a note scribbled on the back of the preceding page which says, all inquiries to head of London station.
I see.
What's more, it's dated last Friday. And here's the punchline, George. It was initialed by Toby Esterhazy.